So how many of you are familiar with the term garbage in equals garbage out?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Got a few stories that I want to share today, some thoughts that I want to share with you as well. And even talk a little bit about the future as we've been discussing on and off Monday and Tuesday of this week, where things stand, where things need to be. But for the moment, I want to get back to focusing on what we do with Truth to Ponder. Today I'm a little stronger than I've been. I'm not great, got a long ways to go. But I want to share with you a few stories that are indicative of where we are and why we started this program, what this program needs to be discussing going forward. You know, I'm pretty much done with talking about COVID-19. I really am. We spent a long time on COVID-19 and vaccines. And all of you that listen, I'll remind you from time to time of our humble roots and why this program started. And my concerns back in August of 2020 that I didn't trust the election coming up in November. And everybody said, Bob, what are you worrying about? He can't lose. He's got it in the bag. Look at the crowds. And my heart was screaming, you don't see it coming, do you? You're so blinded by your own ambition and your own desire that you're not willing to understand that those that want to do harm to this country are doing it very skillfully. And you're just, you know, going along for the ride. As I said, as I opened the program today, that term GIGO, garbage in equals garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. That term was kind of around in the 1950s, in the early days of computers, as they started to be used in certain industries, including banking and government and what have you. And it pretty much says that if your program is trying to process garbage, what comes out is garbage. If the information is invalid going in, it's going to be invalid coming out. We kind of learned that actually during the pandemic. Imperial College of London put out all these great statistics of how many people were going to die if we didn't shut down the world. If we didn't all stay home and stay safe and wear face diapers and every ridiculous thing that came along, we're going to die. And it's going to be, I remember the county that I served. I'm going back 4 years ago now. I had left or was getting ready to leave at about this point. We were told thousands were going to die. Turned out it was dozens. And it was based upon a computer model that when people analyzed the model, they realized the model was pure garbage. So guess what? Garbage in equals garbage out. And we did all the lockdowns, all the shutdowns, all the destroying of families and businesses, all based on a computer model that was garbage. But see, that understanding applies to many aspects of our life. It doesn't just respond to computers. It's everything we do. It's every endeavor that we make. If we try to build a house and we don't understand what we're doing, there's a good chance the house will be unsteady and unsafe. News. Pretty much Mind Syphilis NBC, that's my name for it now, and I'm going to continue to call it that because it fits. It fits them so perfectly. They're a reprobate, disgusting, politically motivated organization. I mean, I got a kick. A while back, they had Rona McDaniel on there working for, and all the reporters and so-called phony journalists were in rebellion mode, like a bunch of little five-year-olds whining, we don't like her, get her out of here, we're the journalist. I got news for you, Chuck Todd. You are not a journalist, never were a journalist, and you wouldn't know how to be a journalist if your freaking life depended upon it. Get with the program. I'm sick of these clowns. Chuck Todd, you are not a journalist, you never were a journalist, and you never will be one, because your mind is too rotted out from brain syphilis. from hanging around at Mind Syphilis NBC. You have no credibility. You have no knowledge. You have nothing to offer but a pack of lies, garbage, and nonsensical gibberish. And we're supposed to believe that these people can tell the truth? But they can't. CNN, no better. ABC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times, all of them. Garbage. Trash. And so if you're watching MSNBC and you're reading the New York Times, garbage in. Guess what? Garbage will come out. You will believe lies and garbage. So news is a problem. It also applies to education. There was a day that education was based on a simple concept of imparting knowledge and truth. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 5 = 7. Nowadays, you have idiotic students coming out that, well, 2 + 2 doesn't necessarily equal 4. You may want to believe that it equals 5, and that's your opinion, and your opinion is valid. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I actually had that discussion with a high school graduate. I really did. There is no such thing as an absolute. How can you dare say that 2 + 2 always must equal 4? So you have the public schools pushing garbage into the brains of our children, and you wonder why garbage comes out of their mouth. You wonder why they have no clue about how the world works. They have no understanding. You wonder how college students can be so ignorant and just downright stupid. You know, there's an old saying I remember from years ago. Ignorance can be cured, but stupid is forever. And I think the longer you wallow in ignorance, you finally just give over to the stupid side. You don't want to begin to learn. Your mind has been destroyed. And that, my friend, is the plan. It has been the plan since Dewey took over education to control the minds of children. We don't want thinkers. We want workers. We want worker bees. We don't want them to think. We want them to parrot everything we tell them. I'm very blessed, and I wish his name would come to my mind. My senior high school English teacher, young guy. I never knew his politics. He had maybe been teaching for a few years. Guy was an absolute genius. And as seniors, we had this opportunity to take this special class on literally understanding the world around us by being able to delve through media and kind of sort out the fiction from the fact. And he was literally teaching us how to be sensitive to when you're being pretty much having smoke blown up your skirt, as they say. And then he taught us how to be effective debaters, how to do research, how to stand by what you believe and be able to believe in what you are saying because you know it to be true, not because you're accepting it without thought. I got news for you. True faith doesn't require blind acceptance, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. Learned a lot from that man. And it changed how I did everything going forward after I graduated high school. I never just assumed everything I'm reading or hearing or seeing is true again. Until I went through the classic filters to be able to detect the marketing and the manipulation. It's been a part of me ever since. Today, illiterate high school students, they don't know history, or they know a very warped and very sanitized history. Give you an example. This is a college student up in New York City. And she's out there on the streets. And of course, she's wearing a black face diaper. Everybody's got to wear a face diaper these days. That's the in thing to do. Wear a face diaper because we're cool. We're standing with Palestine. And we don't want people that may want to hire us someday to really know who we are. And she is praising. Now, it's little audio is a little unclear. I'll help you with it in a moment. but she is absolutely just praising the country of North Korea. And can you guess why she's praising North Korea?
So which side do y'all think North Korea supports, Palestine or Israel? Just guess. It is Palestine. The DPRK has actually never recognized the state of Israel. They have always upheld the right of Palestinian people to self-determination and resistance. And this is beyond moral and rhetorical support. The DPRK has actively armed and trained Palestinian resistance for decades. That includes the PLO, the PFLP, and the DFLP have trained troops by the DPRK.
Now, I just want to have you follow this with me so you don't misunderstand. That is a student at New York University in New York City praising North Korea because they support the terrorists in Palestine and always have. They train the PLO. They do all these wonderful things that we love. And they went from supporting a terrorist organization that has killed Americans to defending Osama bin Laden to praising a deadly dictator and now calling for the death of America. This is college. Because, see, garbage has been pushed into their minds. You can make fun of these students all day long. You can mock them all day long. But you want to know the truth? It was baby boomers that took over education and put this filth and garbage and nonsense into their brains. And lazy, just worthless parents, Gen X, that send them to these schools and never find out what they're learning. Garbage in equals garbage out. And this piling up of the garbage and the manure and all the trash into the brains of people, whether it be from the media, as I mentioned before, whether it be from education, is why this nation will self-destruct. Because it has no way to salvage itself. The majority of people are garbage in, garbage out. Or they've just given up so terribly. Heard a guy discussing it over the weekend. How New Jersey voters keep putting in these just clueless clowns as governors and senators and congressmen. I mean, the scum of the earth becomes the leaders in New Jersey. You want to know why? In New York, too. You want to know why? And in Fulton County. You want to know why? It's because people have just given up. In New Jersey, 6 out of 10 voters stay home and don't even bother to vote. 6 in 10. 40% of the voters are the ones that vote. And it's only 55% of that 40%, or 20% of the population, that determines who wins. By the way, I've mentioned this before. How do you think Alvin Braggadocious ever became the DA in New York? They have the election on a day right after school when nobody wants to go vote or go anywhere. And so instead of millions of people showing up to vote in Manhattan, it's a few thousand. That's it. They've got the system so rigged that a few thousand people can vote in a clown, a clueless clown, a buffoon like Alvin Braggadocious. That's how it's done. Garbage in equals garbage out. You know, even in some conservative websites, conservative news organizations and what have you, there's a lot of trash and garbage there too, and clickbait. And I want you to discern this. I get about 370 or more emails per day. And a lot of it is, Bob, click on this video. Look at this story. Look at that. Bob, you need to see this video. I know it lasts 2 hours and 20 minutes, but you got to see it. Well, I've wasted some time doing it. I don't do it anymore. I just don't. Do a little bit of background research, and I figure out these are clueless clowns, clickbait purveyors. You know, there's a cottage industry to make a sucker out of you if you're a conservative or a Christian. It really is. They know that you'll just fall for it every time. You know, they'll give you the big clickbait headline. The View is going to be canceled because X is buying it or some other nonsense. And you believe it and you share it. What morons? Are you that stupid? Please don't share stuff you cannot confirm to be true. And then you find, you know, News for Us site is where it came from. Well, who are they? And you find out it's a bunch of parody writers making money on clickbait crap. And you're stupid enough to click on it and they make money. I think half the conservatives that I know, I love you dearly and you mean well, have no business being on social media or playing with email. You're too dangerous. You'll repeat all this awful garbage. It's not even true. And I just don't waste my time anymore. I've been saying I spend too much time doing this news. And I need to change the focus of what I'm doing. Because what good does it profit a man, his soul, if all I'm doing is giving you the news? I'll give you one more story. This will kind of just give you an idea of education. And I think this may give you some insight. What you're about to hear is real. It is not made up. These are two so-called women. Well, one is biologically a female. It's pretty obvious. They're dressed. They both have their little piercings through their nose. And the other one, who's obviously a male with a big Adam's apple, who believes they're a female. Okay, I'm serious. When you hear this, remember, these are two women, or one is a woman, one identifies, and they're angry at Megyn Kelly. They're angry at Libs of TikTok, and they're angry at Fox News. They're just angry. Because, see, nobody is believing the lie that the guy you're about to hear, that the guy you are about to hear is a woman. This is the backstory on what you're about to hear. These two clownish women, one is a female, one is a male. Obviously, the one is pretending I'm a female. He's acting a little effeminate. But when you listen to this clown, this clueless clown, you need to understand one other thing. These two individuals are college professors.
Something with you that happened in our community yesterday that is now going viral on X, specifically the Libs of TikTok account.
A cisgender woman stalked and filmed a friend of ours in the bathroom. The cis woman in question has made quite a name for herself spewing hateful and ugly rhetoric against trans women, including making appearances with Megyn Kelly on Fox News.
Her name is Peyton McNabb. Her sorority is Delta Zeta. She was made famous after an unfortunate volleyball accident, which a spike ball hit her in the face. The ball was spiked by a trans woman. She was then puppeted and parroted by the right-wing media and was made the one poster child of why trans women should not play sports. She has been spreading hate and misinformation since.
The fame provided by the likes of Megyn Kelly and Fox News have emboldened her beyond hate speech on the internet to purposefully stalking and recording a trans woman in the bathroom. A misdemeanor, by the way. We want to make it abundantly clear Peyton McNabb was the perpetrator and is now crying on the internet that she is being investigated by her school where the video was reported. Also, my school, and I hope to see them take correct action and expel her.
Our friend reacted with such amazing grace, more than I would have given. When asked when she was doing there, she explained she was using the bathroom as a trans girl. And when she was pushed further, she stated sorry for Peyton's discomfort, and she just wanted to be safe too.
Peyton then sent the video to Libs of TikTok, who posted it at 8:28 p.m. yesterday. It now has over 9.2 million views as of the making of this video and continues to grow.
As a person using the bathroom is not the perpetrator. Trans women are not the perpetrators. Peyton McNabb is the perpetrator.
Mule muffins, pigeon pellets,
buffalo bagels,
jumpin' Jack Armstrong,
the oysters ice skates,
buffalo chips,
jumpin' joppers, man,
pig feathers,
mule fritters,
sweet Nefertiti,
road apples, private.
What is this cow flub dubbery?
Hot hush puppy.
Now please understand, this is the insanity we are being forced by the mainstream media, the perverts in the White House, the perverts in Congress, the perverts in the judicial system, and yes, they are perverts. They are disgusting. They are dangerous perverted individuals that do not have your best interest at heart. They're teaching your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids that anybody can just choose their gender and decide on a moment's notice to make a big change. Because genders are fluid, and everybody must accept the insanity that you now have, or they're the bad people. Yeah, people that tell the truth are bad people. There's a story that came out the other day, and I saw this guy by the name of Camden Schreiner. Camden Schreiner, I'm looking at his picture. About 6'3", very muscular, athletic. He won first place in the 200 meter dash at the Liberty League Outdoor Track and Field Championship. Camden, a male, okay? But he didn't win it in the male division. He won it playing as a woman's runner. This is collegiate sports. We have brain syphilis people running the entire college system now. NCAA, all of it. There's nothing but garbage going into the brains of our young kids, and we have garbage coming out that is going to take this country down if we don't do something to stop it. I'm going to just say this. You may not like to hear it. I don't care how big or small your church is. You ought to at least be talking about what to do to help students learn truth. And I'm not talking Sunday school. Well, my church is too small, Bob. Then go to a different church. If your church will not take on the mantle of responsibility that God gave the church, then find another church. Hate to be so blunt about it. I'm getting tired of mealy-mouthed, weak little knee churches just hiding in their four walls. Oh, we don't want to talk about that topic. It might offend somebody. So when a guy like Camden Schreiner, who ranked 19th back not that long ago, and he's still identified as what he really is, a male, decided and woke up one day and suddenly had this epiphany.
Man, I feel like a woman.
And now Camden Schreiner, a male who now identifies as a woman, takes first place in the women's 200 meter dash. And this person now is just winning multiple women's championships. I wonder how that happened. Are we that stupid in America? Yeah, either we're that stupid or we're that cowardly to stand up for it. I feel sorry for the women that are having to lose out to a man, but they want to enhance their careers. You know, the only way this nonsense, this is never going to stop until you stand up and say, as a woman, I'm not competing. It may take 1 year of every female saying, I am not playing your silly, stupid game any longer. That is a male. Get that male out of my bathroom. Get that male out of my locker room. Get that male off of the track when I'm running. We're not playing your silly game. Let a bunch of males who identify as women compete. See how long that lasts. It won't last long. As long as you feed this beast, it's going to keep getting larger and more powerful. You're allowing it to happen. And church, you've been allowing a lot to happen because you're too worthless and too weak and too lazy and too stupid to understand what your calling is in facing as salt and light in this earth. There are days that I begin to lose all hope. And then I run into something like this. A young kid, Middleborough Public School, he wore a shirt to school that caused all kinds of just people losing their minds. He addressed the school board.
I never thought that the shirt I wore to school on March 21st would lead me to speak with you today. On that Tuesday morning, I was taken out of gym class to sit down with two adults for what turned out to be a very uncomfortable talk. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt, that my shirt was making some students feel unsafe. Yes, words on a shirt made people feel unsafe. They told me that I wasn't in trouble, but it sure felt like I was. I was told that I would need to remove my shirt before I could return to class. When I nicely told them that I didn't want to do that, they called my father. Thankfully, my dad supported my decisions and came to pick me up. What did my shirt say? Five simple words. There are only two genders. Nothing harmful, nothing threatening, just a statement I believe to be a fact. I have been told that my shirt was targeting a protected class. Who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights? I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. Do you know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do. Not one person, staff, or student told me that they were bothered by what I was wearing. Actually, just the opposite. Several kids told me that they supported my actions and that they wanted one too. I was told that the shirt was a disruption to learning. No one got up and stormed out of class. No one burst into tears. I'm sure I would have noticed if they had. I experience disruptions to my learning every day. Kids acting out in class are a disruption, yet nothing is done. Why do the rules apply to one, yet not another? I feel like these adults were telling me that it wasn't okay for me to have an opposing view. Their arguments were weak, in my opinion. I didn't go to school that day to hurt feelings or cause trouble. I have learned a lot from this experience. I learned that a lot of other students share my view. I learned that adults don't always do the right thing or make the right decisions. I know that I have a right to wear a shirt with those five words. Even at 12 years old, I have my own political opinions, and I have a right to express those opinions. Even at school, this right is called the First Amendment to the Constitution. My hope in being here tonight is to bring the school committee's attention to this issue. I hope that you will speak up for the rest of us so we can express ourselves without being pulled out of class. Next time, it may not only be me. There might be more students that decide to speak out. Thank you for your time and good night.
The only thing that comes to my mind is that phrase from the Bible, and a little child shall lead them. You know, it is a sad state of affairs when a 12-year-old addressing adults has to even address adults on this topic. Your shirt might be hurtful. It's truthful. Sometimes the truth hurts. Oh, as he made it clear, I put up with your rainbow flags, your trans flags, your pride this, your pride that, all the other garbage. I deal with it. But when I express my view, I can't do it. It's because the reprobates and the disgusting vermin that hate truth, hate God, hate you, hate this country, hate all that is good, they're in control. We need more young men like this youngster you just heard. Is your church turning them out? Is your school turning them out? If not, you better rethink your plan because you don't have one. I'm sick of being Mr. Nice Guy. I'm not doing it anymore. I have enough on my plate right now. You know it. With my health, not knowing the future, I'm worn out. I'm tired. And then I have to deal with the church. I'm not talking about my church. I'm saying the church in general. A lot of it is a fake and phony church. Getting back to garbage in equals garbage out. If your church body meets like the United Methodist did last week in Charlotte, North Carolina, and you throw out God's word and substitute garbage and manure, what do you get? Garbage out. Your church is dead. What you did in Charlotte, you have killed your church. You have spit in the face of Christ. The lampstand that God gave you as a church has been removed. And you can sit there with your silly rainbow stoles and vestments and your gay marriages and your fruitcake ministers. I don't care. You're all going to end up in hell. I don't care if your grandma gave the stained glass window, the pulpit, or the organ. Get out of that church. Do not touch the unclean thing. And it's not just United Methodist. There are a lot of others. ELCA. Yeah, a bunch of Presbyterians, no better. All happy, inclusive, and transy. The only transition you're going to make is a transition from this life to an eternity in hell if you stay in those churches. When are you going to understand the truth? I'm going to just say it. Do you still believe in this ministry after what I've just said and done? The days of this program are probably numbered. If you don't want to help, if you can, now's the time to do it. Visit the website Truth, the numeral or number 2 Ponder, truth2ponder.com. Look for a tab to support us. You can also email me from the website. or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. I remind you, you can also use the website truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. We will take a break, and then we're going to come back with a few additional thoughts for today's program that you need to hear. So let's take this break, and we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Eyes of Sunday Morning, coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Growing up, I was puzzled about Good Friday. I was Jewish. I am Jewish, but I didn't know about it. Why did they call it good? He died that day. How could it be called good? Well, it is good because he was dying for our sins. It didn't seem to be good at the time. It seemed to be not a good Friday, but a horrible Friday. The disciples were crushed and broken and confused and in mourning and vanquished and hopeless. Everything was over. But then came Sunday. If there were no Sunday morning resurrection, it probably wouldn't be called Good Friday. Good Friday is Good Friday because it's Sunday, through the eyes of Sunday morning. That says something. It's a secret of living. Don't see things solely through today's eyes. See things through the eyes of tomorrow, because God promises that for those who love him, he's going to work all things for good, all things. So it doesn't matter what you're going through now, your problem. It's promised that it's going to work together for good. So no matter what's happening on your Friday, Sunday morning is coming, and it's going to turn it around. And see all things in faith. That's a secret. When you go through that problem, thank God for what it will be through the eyes of Sunday morning. It's going to be worked for good. Thank God even now. When you're praying, thank God for the answer. Before you see it, thank God for the solution. Before you know it, thank God for Sunday's coming. And beyond that, heaven is coming. So learn the secret of seeing all things in your life now through the eyes of heaven, through the finished work, through the perfect, when all that is now, your good, your bad, your problems, your troubles, your everything is going to be turned into perfect good. So thank God for your situation, my friend. And it too will become a good Friday. And it is a good Friday through the eyes of Sunday morning. Want more? Ask for Messiah's Sabbath on CD. Now, what if you could receive daily vitamins guaranteed to strengthen you spiritually? Well, you're going to get it. Sapphires is your daily spiritual vitamins for victorious walk with God. You get a free gift subscription, plus updates on Israel, world events, and prophecy, and the mystery of the temple doors on CD, the most amazing thing, amazing, and it's yours free. You'll love all these free gifts. How do you get them? Easy. Just remember this Yeshua, Jesus' real name, and you dial it. So to receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now you can actually spread salvation around the world for very little through shortwave radio. From the Arctic Circle to Israel, it's amazing. It's like sending a billion tracks around the world. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed. That's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. That's Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah Yeshua Tenu, our salvation.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Wednesday, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As many of you know, last week I had surgery on Tuesday, and what we thought was going to be an hour or so of looking around to see how things were going and hopefully improving ended up being about 5 hours. And when I got home, I just felt awful. My mind was just running weird from the medication they had me on to put me under. And I couldn't sleep. I felt horrible. I was throwing up. Couldn't eat. Several days I couldn't eat. Couldn't sleep. And I didn't know if I hadn't recorded all the radio programs in advance, which is something I don't normally do, you would have had some programs missing last week. We started feeling better toward the weekend, and I'm just barely able to do the program as it is right now. I don't sleep at all much at night. I go to bed, and because of the extensive time they spent resectioning my bladder internally, I'm up about every 45 minutes to an hour. Can't help it. And so I try to take some little naps and try to do the best that I can in doing the radio program. And I don't know what the future holds. I just don't. Might find out maybe in the next day or two, and I'll get the word to you as soon as I know and thoroughly understand it. We started this program almost 4 years ago. And in 2020 and 2021 and into 2022, everything was fine. And then I noticed something didn't seem right, and probably hadn't been for a long time. But with the medical profession today, just trying to get treated, get seen by those you need to get seen, it's almost impossible. It's almost like by design, make it difficult. Thank you, Obamacare. I've had to deal with the challenges of the medical system for quite a while now. It took over a year to get to a specialist to find out that I had cancer. Duh. And a high-grade cancer at that. Jim Calhoun has been a godsend, and he's going to finish out part of today's program. I'll be with you in a couple of minutes. But Jim is going to take a little time to share his thoughts on how we endure the medical system. Jim, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Bob, and it's great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Today, I'm going to talk about the medical profession. And I wasn't planning on doing this show, but it's pretty much by popular demand. I've had several people wanting me to talk about the way the medical profession is farming us and to explain what I mean by using the term farming. Well, I do believe that the medical profession is using us as a cash cow. They're milking us for all of our money. I have several listeners who have informed me that their doctors are ordering all sorts of tests, some tests that the technicians at the hospital will admit they've never done before. And one older nurse said that in her 30 years of nursing, she'd heard about the test, but had never personally witnessed it being done or have heard of anyone who have gone through this kind of a test. And this listener was telling me about the whole procedure of the test, but they never explained to the patient what the tests were for. And the test happened over a week ago, and the doctors still haven't got back to the patient to tell them the results of the test. And I have several people that are listeners that are having the same kind of frustration, that they're having CAT scans and MRIs and having radiation put in their blood to do something to the red blood cells so they can test for some illness they're not telling the patient. And there's a lot of people who are very frustrated because they feel like they're just being used as a pincushion for the doctors to just practice on to make more money. And they're doing just pointless things to pad their pocket. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not privy to what's wrong with these people, other than the fact that they're not being treated right, because I think it's cruel and inhumane to tell someone they need a battery of tests and then have them go through the test without telling them what they're testing for, and then not bothering to even communicate with the patient to tell them the results of the test or tell them why they did it in the first place. So there's something up with that. And so I'd have to ask the question, are we being farmed by the modern medical profession? And my answer would be definitely yes. There's an awful lot of people that are deemed chronically ill that I do believe that they're made chronically ill by the medical profession itself. We've all heard about the people that would go in for surgery on their right foot, and then when they wake up out of anesthesia, they find that their left foot was what they operated on by mistake. And I've heard that people are writing, operate here or cut here, with permanent marker on their skin, making sure the doctors are even operating on the right limb or the right part of the body. I know that's fairly rare, but there's an awful lot of people that seem to be farmed. And the medical profession never used to do this. And a lot of it, I think, goes back to the big pharmaceutical companies like your Pfizer's and Bayer's and these others that are making all sorts of money with experimental drugs. And I've talked to several people who have been in the research side of medicine that have told me horror stories about having numbers cooked, test results falsified, all to get the FDA to approve a drug that is likely very dangerous, but will make the pharmaceutical companies just billions of dollars. And this is related, it's kind of a rabbit trail, but it seems that a lot of people that are senior citizens go south for the winter along the Rio Grande Valley and also in Arizona and California, so they can cross the border and buy pharmaceuticals, lots of times at a fraction of the cost that they can here. And before you conjure up images of going over and buying narcotics, that's illegal. And I'm sure that the drug cartels are getting some pharmaceuticals illegally across the border. Grandma and grandpa are not going over for narcotics. They're going over for blood pressure and other heart medication, maybe weight control drugs, things like that. And in my case, I went across to get some blood thinner. I can't remember the name of the blood thinner they put me on. It was brand new at the time, and this has been right around 8 or 9 years ago. But they put me on this blood thinner that at that time was $650 a month, and I couldn't afford it. So I told the doctor, well, I guess I'm just going to have to die if I need this. I guess I'm just going to pass away if I can't get this because I can't afford it, but there's no way I can pay $650 a month. And I was informed, well, if you want to live, you're going to pay that much. Well, I happened to go into Mexico, and I asked the pharmacist that I stopped at. Before you scoff and say there's no pharmacies in Mexico, you're very wrong. There are some wonderful pharmacies in Mexico, and they sell pharmaceuticals that are made in the United States, Mexico, Germany, and just all over. Anywhere they can buy the medications that they need, they buy from a lot of different sources. The pharmacist said, well, that was a brand new one, and they didn't stock it, but he could have it in the morning. So I crossed back over the border, and the next day I crossed back into Mexico. And this is at Algodones, by the way. I crossed into Mexico, and I asked about this pharmaceutical. And he said, yes, it came in. And I had the blood thinner that I bought for $650. I had the remainder of that bottle. And I looked at the bottle that I bought in Mexico, and the bottle was identical. And the logo was identical, except everything was in Spanish. But I saw that it was made in California. When I got back to where I was staying, I took both bottles and compared. And they both were made at the same facility at the same time. They both had the same insert that told about the drug. One was, of course, in Spanish. They were both copywritten at the same time as far as having the copyright symbol. And so I took one of the pills that I had with me that was off the $650 batch, and I shaved some off the pill and tasted it. Then the one I got in Mexico, I did the same thing, and they tasted identical. They were exactly the same thing, made at the same factory, had the same bottle and the same insert and the same everything. But do you know how much the Mexican pharmacist charged me for this bottle? And he had to get it for me special? A whopping $17.50. If I buy it from an American pharmacy, it was $650. But if I cross the border into Mexico, it was $17.50. And so I just had to go back again to talk to the same pharmacist and ask a simple question. How could you sell it so cheap? It's the same thing I'm getting in the United States, exactly the same. He said, yes, I know it is exactly the same. He got it through the same vendors that the American pharmacists that the American pharmacies would place their orders through. And he told me that, in his opinion, the reason why he was so cheap, that he was actually being sold the product at its correct markup, at the correct price. But he said that Americans will pay if they just raise the price. He said someone has to pay for the research, and Mexico is a poor country, and we're not paying for anyone's research. But the United States has the insurance companies and more wealthy people per capita. And so basically the pharmaceutical companies were just hanging the Americans out to dry. And I thanked the Mexican pharmacist for telling me what his opinion was. But I will never forget that I was told if I wanted to live, I'd pay $650. The guy told me that very flippantly, and I thought very arrogantly. And then I crossed the border to a foreign country that's perceived to be somehow beneath the United States, and their pharmaceutical companies somehow beneath the United States. And actually, I was served better by the pharmaceutical industry in Mexico than I was the United States. And so don't tell me that pharmaceutical companies and doctors and hospitals and clinics and just everyone in the medical profession, don't tell me they're not padding their bills and charging just way too much. And we're being farmed. And a few episodes ago, I talked about my decision if I was terminal in something and I was diagnosed with something that was going to eventually kill me, I wouldn't fight it. I wouldn't spend my last pennies trying to beat whatever it was. I would use prayer and ask God for healing and ask God for strength. And of course, I would do my part to eat right and do homeopathic things that I deem would be a benefit to me. But there's no way that I am going to leave this earth dirt poor with all of my wealth that I have gained, which isn't very much, but have that in the hands of the doctors so they can just buy another bass boat. Something in me just will not tolerate that. All through my life, I've heard of people that have relied on God for healing and they don't believe in doctors. And I always thought those people were strange. But now I can honestly say I seem to be one of that group now. I will not go see a doctor that will willingly give someone a jab of this COVID vaccine, this COVID-19 vaccine that's, I call the death jab. There's no way I would go and have a doctor do anything to me if he's capable of taking a needle and shooting their patient full of this poison that is being deemed a bioweapon by more government agencies around the world. Seems like once every week or so, another country or a state or a region is coming out and banning this death jab and also declaring that it's a bioweapon. I just hope I live long enough to see Anthony Fauci handcuffed and brought to trial, convicted and also punished for his total inhumanity to man. And also, I hope he's punished for cruelty to animals. What he has done through the years with lab animals is disgraceful. I think that he's nothing more than a sadist, and I think he's a traitor to humanity. And I think we have an awful lot of people that follow in his footsteps, research scientists that are willing to do anything for a quick buck. And more people are seeing doctors in this light. And it's really odd for me to have this poor of an opinion of the whole medical profession. About a dozen years ago, I was saved by the medical profession as far as them patching me back together. But I had a near-death experience at the scene of the accident, and a voice, which I think was God, talked to me and told me I was going to be okay if I could just start breathing and not to panic and just concentrate on taking that first breath, and then I would be fine. And so I believed that voice, and to this day I know that I truly heard the voice. And as far as the extent of my injuries, I'm as okay as I could possibly be. And so it's not a great leap for me to just trust God for my health. But I live in faith anyway, so it's not going to be that hard of a stretch for me to live that part of my life in faith as well. And so I'm going to do my best to keep walking in faith and doing what I need to do. But getting back to the doctors and that whole profession, do you realize that all these medical centers are getting bigger? They're putting up more new buildings. You have physical rehab centers going up next to heart clinics that are going up next to bone specialists, and just everything that you can specialize in. It seems like if there's a hospital that's any size at all, they're just surrounded by all these new entities that are there to take your money. And the America that we have now is totally different than the America that I grew up with. And in growing up, you didn't see all this medical business like we see it today. You had doctors and nurses and interns and just your standard hospital workers and doctor's office people. But now we live in a world that we're just glutted with specialized doctors and also lawyers. We have a glut of both. And it seems like that both of those groups are not going to be happy till they have all of your money, and they think eventually they're going to get it. But this idea of being farmed is very real, and it's, in my opinion, sickening. It should not be happening. I know that when I was young, I had a very old doctor, and he was very wise. And after he would examine you, he would call you back into his office. You'd sit in his study, and he would sit there. He would ask you some questions and be very attentive to your answers. And then he'd tell you what he was going to do for you. And it was always humanitarian. It was always the right thing. And I really miss that doctor. He probably died sometime in the late 1960s. But he was very wise. I imagine he was born in the 1870s or 1880s, and he really knew his profession. This doctor happened to have a son, and the son also became a doctor and called himself a surgeon. But he did not follow in his dad's footsteps. This man was just prescription happy. He would have you on as many prescriptions as he possibly could. He didn't care what it did to the patient. And I know from personal experience that he was my family's doctor, and I had a family member that was on over 26 prescriptions every day. And that's unheard of. Today you probably couldn't get away with that, but back then, this doctor did. Whereas his father was a humanitarian and would talk to you about rubber meets the road life issues, and an example was, he was talking to someone about losing weight, and instead of prescribing medications and doing all these things and coming up with diet plans, he just looked at that person and said, you don't want to have cravings, and so I want you to eat everything you normally eat so you don't crave it, but just eat half. You'll lose weight with no craving. And that advice always stuck with me, and any time I've needed to lose weight, I've done that very thing. And I do not have cravings, and I have lost weight. And the person that he told that to, I actually heard him say that to him, lost weight immediately and kept it off. Whereas his son would have prescribed as many pills as he could to try to fight the obesity. So it's a different headspace. And I think we've entered into yet another headspace that they want all of your money, and they're not going to stop until they get it. And there's an awful lot of things happening as far as tests that don't need to be run, doctors that are not following up on the tests. Something is just very wrong here. I can't put my finger on it other than we're being farmed. And I hope you have a good doctor. I'm not telling you to get away from doctors. I just am telling you what I see going on. And I hope you have a humanitarian for a doctor. And if you don't, you need to switch doctors, in my opinion. but you need to stay away from the doctors that want to just keep you perpetually on pills. They prescribe something, and then they tell you, well, you're going to take this the rest of your life. And so 6 months goes by, and you're on the medication, and you go to get it refilled, and they won't refill it. Doctor has to see you again. Well, the doctor told you that you were chronic, and you're going to be on this medication for the rest of your life, so why do you need to see the doctor? Well, to pad the doctor's pockets, of course. And so the doctor gets a couple $100 to look at you for 30 seconds and say, yeah, I think it's working. We'll just keep writing prescriptions. And then 6 months later, it'll happen again. I just think that things are broken in the medical profession. I think that we're allowing it to be broken. I think that we need to start telling our doctors that we have patients' rights and the patient has the final say. For some reason, the doctors seem to be ordering us around and wanting us to do all sorts of things to pad their pocket without them even telling the patient what it's all about. And I think that's just wrong. Well, I hope the right ears heard this show today. Again, I'm not trying to get you to be against your doctor. I'm just telling you that I'm hearing from quite a few listeners that are having some issues. And so I thought I'd address it. Once again, I'd like to thank Bob Bierman for allowing me to speak to his great audience. And until next time, everyone, stay safe, stay well, stay vigilant and positive, and never ever forget, replace fear with faith. Now back to Bob.
I want to thank you, Jim Calhoun, for helping out on today's program. It means more to me than you will ever know when you stand with me and help me, especially during this time when I'm just having a really difficult time sitting down and recording and producing this program. After I finish today's program, I'll be taking a nap for an hour or two. You can believe that. Jim, once again, thank you. And Jim will be sharing some more with us again tomorrow. So I look forward to you being with us again here on Truth to Ponder. What is the future of this radio program? I don't know. Still have some health questions. And even if it's really bad news, I'll still be around for a while, but is it worth me doing this program? It takes a lot out of me. And then on top of that, I have to worry about paying the bills every month. And I'm getting to the point that, you know, if this program is not important, then why bother? If no one wants to support it, why should I do it? I mean, I guess people are happy watching the clickbait, silly video stuff that they keep sending me. That most of it is garbage and not even truth. And what's amazing about today's program, unlike a lot of stuff that I see every day that comes across my inbox, everything I shared with you is true and verifiable. Didn't make anything up. Didn't have some silly headline like "The View is being canceled because it has no viewers" and "Elon Musk is going to buy this" or "Oh, stop it. Grow up." If you believe that stuff, then you better get off social media because you're too incapable of using it. If you believe in truth and you believe in this ministry, now's the time to support us. And the best way to do that, go to the website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. Once again, the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319, and we will see you again, God willing, tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.